Morning to everyone. I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I like the song we just sang now. It's got at the end it's saying, we'll see God face to face one day. Amen. Yeah. Whatever we do or whatever we think, we need to understand that there's a day where we will see God face to face. And the song says we will worship him in that moment when we see him face to face. That means we are not saved only to prosper on this life, but as Christians we believe that there's life after this life. That's where we think that we'll worship. Amen. Let's go to the word of God in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 7 to 12. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 7 to verse 12. It reads as follows. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it. Indeed, I cannot, holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to sleep, saying, perhaps he will deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take over. They take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be truly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe their heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. Amen. If I can make a topic on this sermon for today, is rise above discouragement. About rising above discouragement. Sometimes we are discouraged left and right. We're just bringing the advice that looking at this before Jeremiah and looking at the way of rising above discouragement. This is after Jeremiah had faithfully proclaimed God's word. He preached very well in the synagogue, preached very well in the temple. He was preached like anything there and proclaiming the truth about the word of God. He had received nothing in return but persecution and sorrow. When you preach, sometimes you're waiting for people to celebrate you or to say you did well, or getting something out of your preaching. But unfortunately, for Jeremiah, we finish his preaching and everything. In return, he was persecuted. There was a prophet, a priest that was called Kusha. He had been beaten and put in jail for preaching the truth. Kusha, the priest who was a priest in the temple, when you speak about the priest and you speak about the preaching, those things, they're supposed to go together. The priest supposed to celebrate when the preacher preached the word of God, not be against the word of God. But in this situation on Jeremiah, the priest who are the priest in the chair is supposed to be the one who's taking care or celebrating what he has done. He was the one who was against him. And then he took him beaten and taken to jail because of preaching the truth. The truth sometimes stings, but our reaction on it to the truth shows what we are made of. Sometimes when the truth is being spoken, or the truth is being preached, it stings. But now, how do you respond when the truth shakes your foundations? How do you respond when the truth tell you who you are? How do you respond when the truth is being preached and you find out you're on the other side of the truth? What do you do? Do you say people against you? Do you stop listening to the preacher? Or do you stop reading the Bible because it seems as if it's against you? No. The best thing to do is to take the truth humbly to the heart and let it change us. The best thing that we can do when the truth is being preached or presented to us, one thing we need to do is to take it to heart. Take it inside you. Ask yourself questions. And allow the truth to change you. Most time we don't want the truth to change us. Even our preachers that we want, the people that are going to make us comfortable. People that are going to preach what we feel like needs to be preached. As a Lord, it's not about us. It's about God and the word of God. And it's not about coming to church. There are a lot of believers. There are few followers. There's a big difference between a believer and the follower. Now, when the truth put there and challenge us, let's allow the truth to change us. Let's allow the truth, and let's say, God, because I'm here today, you preach to my heart, take the word of God to your heart and see what God can do about it. If we read in this where we have read verse 8, Jeremiah is concerned about his preaching. He sit down and preach. After preaching, he's looking at what people are saying about his preaching. And now he starts to be concerned. Remember we said the priest took him to jail and everything. Now when he finished preaching, you see the results of his preaching. I think to Jeremiah was, if you remember from the onset, we said the reason of Jeremiah's prophecy and preaching was for the people to repent. Now I think what was in his mind, he was to see a lot of people repenting, a lot of people raising their hands or coming to God and saying, we understand what you are saying, it's true. We're not living the word of God. That's what he expects. But now when you look at it, you start looking at what he has said in verse 8. Jeremiah said his proclamation, he's proclaiming violence and destruction. He's saying, when I'm preaching, he's going back to his preaching, he said, when I'm preaching, I'm always proclaiming violence and destruction. And he's saying, the word of God has brought me inside and reproach or a shame. The word of God caused me much pain and humiliation. He's saying, when I'm preaching, these things are happening. I'm preaching violence and destruction. Secondly, the results of that, people, they are insulting me for preaching. And the word of God caused me pain and humiliation. When I preach the word of God, at the end, where I think that people are going to say, well done, or when I think that I'm going to get a result from my preaching, good result from my preaching, he said, at the end of the day, it's a pain and humiliation. Remember, when a preacher finished preaching and the priest said, take him to jail or beat him, that's humiliation. That's saying everything wrong about him and his preaching. Now, you say, I'm concerned about my preaching. Remember, we don't preach the gospel for popularity. Remember, it is always about Christ and even him crucified. It's not about church or church politics, about being welcome or people celebrate you. But it's about Christ, even Christ, him crucified. Now, we don't preach for the sake of we want to be popular. We don't preach because we're eloquent. We preach because of Christ and Christ, him crucified. The main thing, preaching, is to bring Christ to us, to tell us what Christ is saying today, what we need to do, what did we do wrong, where we need to rectify our mistakes. That's what I think we're supposed to be when we, but unfortunately, I think Jeremiah is so disappointed that he's saying the gospel, preaching brings him humility and pain. Well, if we go to verse 9, Jeremiah is making an introspection. He's looking at himself. Why am I preaching this preaching? I think that's what he's doing now. If you look at verse 9, he's asking himself, why am I preaching? I think sometimes we want to stop this preaching. But he starts to do introspection to himself. He said, even if he does not want to preach this preaching anymore, God always on his side to preach it. But he is overpowered by God. He said, even if I don't want to preach this preaching, but I'm overpowered by God. He says, God's word is in his heart like a fire. He said, you know, even if I don't want to preach, but inside me, God's word is inside me. When I want to be quiet, God said, you cannot be quiet. When I don't want to say anything, God said, no, no, you need to say something. When I know that I'm going to be in trouble, God said, you need to say it even if you say, it's like fire in my heart. He goes on saying, he says, like fire bursting in my bones. He said, even in my bones, I still feel that I need to preach the word of God in the midst of what is going to happen after preaching the word of God. But I still think that, because he's saying, it's not me who's preaching. It's not about me who's preaching, it's about the message that I'm preaching. I'm preaching what God said. I must be saying, it's like fire in my bones. That means I have no control over it. God wanted people to hear this message that Jeremiah is busy asking himself about. God put those people to hear the message. He said, it's like fire in my bones. I want to stop, but I cannot stop preaching it. I don't want to be a preacher anymore because it brings humiliation, it brings pain in my life. But I don't want to stop. When we've got the word of God, it's supposed to be like that. When we've got any chance to give, to testify about our God, it's supposed to be a fire in our bones. Let's ask ourselves, when the word of God is not like fire in our bones, what is happening in us? What is a fire in our bones? When we don't want to talk about Christ anymore, what is happening inside us? When we don't want to transfer it in our kids, what is happening inside us? When we feel comfortable, if the word of God is not being preached, we feel comfortable. We say, no, even if we can skip the word of God, it's fine. Do other things. Where are we going? He's saying it's like fire in my bones. He's saying sometimes, the word of God pressed against his being. Say, everything that inside me, the word of God is inside me and pressed against everything. I want to be a dignified preacher. I want to be someone that will be welcomed by the priest. But unfortunately, it go against my being, go against what I want. I want to be popular, but it go against what I want. Because it's inside me and it's blossoms. When you've got something inside you, it blossoms. Go out. And people, they can see what we have inside. If you've got love inside you, they will see with your smile and everything and everything. There's something inside you. But if there's empty inside you, let's ask ourselves, what kind of Christians are we? Who is inside us? We need to preach the word in season and out of season. Even if people welcome us or not welcoming us, in season and out of season. To preach the word of God is an opportunity. To testify about the power of God is an opportunity that God gave us to do, just to speak about what God did in our lives, what God has changed in our life. In the olden days, we used to have time for testimony, where people, they will say everything that had happened, they will praise God, was God helped me on this one, on this one, on this one. Because now we are living a normal life. In verse 10, Jeremiah is looking at the results of his preaching. He said, after I finish my preaching, people are saying terror every side. People denounce me. All his friends are waiting for him to sleep. All his friends are praying that, how we wish Jeremiah cannot preach tomorrow. How we wish Jeremiah can fall away of. How I wish he do not have anything to say, anything. See, this is the wish of his friend. Reminds me that when Jesus was, the person who sold Jesus, it was one of the inner circle, his disciples. Now he's saying, the results of my preaching are not what I was expecting. But to go to verse 11. In verse 11, this is how he responds to all that had happened to him. In everything that happened, inside jail, everything, the friends against him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. That's what he said in verse 11. He said, but God is with me like a mighty warrior. This means God is not just present with him, but also actively powerful. Say, he's not just present, as much as no one can see it. But in the midst of discouragement that he's facing, he said, one thing that I know, God is with me. And it's not only with me, not just present, but also actively powerful. God can be, God can change every situation. It's up to God to change this situation. If God doesn't want to change it, I think Jeremiah is saying, I might stay in this situation if God doesn't want to change it. Now, when we respond in everything, we need to have a way to respond. He's saying to these people, the only thing that I know, that God is, this means he is sure about God's support and defense. I think when he's saying that, he's sure about God's support and God's defense. He knows that even if they can take me to jail, even if they can kill me doing everything they want to do, but one thing that I'm sure, when I sleep at home after my preaching, I say, I've said everything that God Himself must say. I think it's got something that's saying, I've given you a testimony of everything. I don't mind how people perceive me. But only thing that I'm sure about, I've preached you it. Now, he knows that God will defend him. He's sure about God. He never saw God defending people. He's sure about this God that's going to defend him and support him. Jeremiah is certain about the victory. He knows that at the end of the day, the victory is his. Reminds me the story of Job when he was in very, very big mess. In the midst of the mess, he was sure about God as a redeemer. That in the midst of it, that is going to happen. But I'm sure he never sees God redeems anyone. But he knows from his heart that God can redeem. Like, yeah, he's sure about the victory. He's sure he's in a mess. But the way he responds to the mess that he's in, he responds by being sure about the victory. He's certain that the will of God will prevail. In the midst of any, even if they can go, they can be taken away to Babylon. But the will of God will prevail. Even they can be killed by Babylon, but the will of God will prevail. But Savannah, the way to respond in any discovery, in any discouragement, let's understand that the will of God will prevail. It's not about us. It's about the will of God. We're not serving God for us. We're serving for God for the will of God. Now we are in the will. In that one, when we sleep at night, we are sure that the will of God has been done. The power of faith is an ability to endure pain. The power of faith is an ability to endure pain. When we believe God, let's believe him. In the midst of our pain, be certain that the will of God will prevail. In the midst of anything that is against us. In conclusion, in Jeremiah chapter, in verse 12, Jeremiah's prayer, the prayer of lament. He's praying there, lamenting for, to you I have committed my cause. He's saying, God, in everything, one thing that I know, everything that I was doing, just for you. And then he said, in you I have committed my cause. It's a prayer of faith and hope. A prayer that he prayed because his faith, he knows that God can do it. And he knows that God is going to do it. A prayer that reminds us of our human vulnerability and God's sovereignty. Jesus once prayed this prayer, this kind of prayer in Mark 14, verse 36. He said, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not I, or not what I want, or what I will, but what you will. I think this shows beyond that even in the midst of any misery or pain that you're going through, or discouragement, or where we see that we are so discouraged to the moment that we think that we cannot stand up again. Our enemies or our hearts or our situation are getting worse day by day. We always must always remember the will of God prevails. That's why Jesus prayed this prayer. That's why Jesus prayed this prayer. He said, God, let this pass, but if it's not in my will, on God's will. We need to understand that whatever happens in our life, God is there with us. When Job was tested by the devil, the day the Satan came in and tested him, he knew the Satan asked him from God. He knew Satan in the midst of the danger that he's walking through. But God is the will of God. He's still in the right-hand side with God. I think the best thing that we need to do, when you make an introspection, let's sit down and ask ourselves, which will are we going with? Who motivates us to go up every day? What motivates you to be a Christian? What makes you to stand firm in the midst of challenges? Is that people that are going to see something good in you? Or are you standing because of the will of God? Are you standing because God gives you energy and power to stand Do you believe him that he can keep you in the midst of the challenges that you're facing? Do you understand that in your misery, God is an answer? Do you understand that our prayer cannot manipulate God? God's will is going to happen in the midst of us. But one thing that we need to understand, we are in the will of God. Whatever happens, we're in the will of God. Always rest assured, even if the challenges are coming in any side of life, but we are in the will of God. When they come, when everything is like discouraging and everything, let's understand, we are in the will of God. The best thing is, I always say, as a soldier, when you die, you always die wearing your uniform in the army. Even when things are going not in our way, let's still have our uniform inside us, burning like fire in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. Father, we glorify you, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise. We know, Father God, you are God who walk with us. Father, we pray that your word must be like fire in our hearts. Pray, Father God, even anything that's discouraged us, even the things that are happening around us, sometimes they discourage us. But Father, we pray this morning, can you make your word be like fire in our bones? Can you make us, Father God, to preach your word in boldness? Can make us to understand that we are still God in the midst of our misery? Father, we pray that be everything that we need. We pray, Father God, we will need to understand that we are in your will, and we know certain that the victory is for us. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.